السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to المشرق on Radio Islam International. It is Monday morning. All praises and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And looking at this beautiful Monday morning, the issue that we first looking at, inshallah, is our Africa lesson, where we learn about a country in Africa each week, and thereafter we look at parenting, inshallah. So that is our outlook for today's program. In our Africa lesson, we are taking a look at the country of Comoros today, inshallah al-Aziz. We have maybe heard about Comoros, and I have friends who have come from Comoros as well. I know one of my friends has moved to South Africa, is established in South Africa, in Ladysmith. Maulana Shamsuddin is the imam there, and he is a teacher at the madrasa and the hifz class as well. And one thing that really stood out of the people of Comoros was the beautiful recitation of the Quran Kareem. Now, Comoros, let's learn about this African country. It is considered as part of Africa, and it was known as Juzurul Qamar. That is the name Comoros. Juzurul Qamar means the islands of the moon, and absolutely beautiful and stunning islands. It is known, in French it's known as Union des Comores or Al-Ittihad al-Qamari. It's an archipelago island nation. It's in the Indian Ocean, located the northern end of the Mozambique Channel off the eastern coast of Africa. And it is northeastern, between northeastern Mozambique and northwestern Madagascar, so just a bit north between Mozambique and Madagascar. Other countries near Comoros are Tanzania, it's to the northwest, Seychelles, to the northeast, and the capital of Comoros is Moroni, or Grand Comore. This expanse of land, 1,660 square kilometers, that's excluding the island of Mayotte. The Comoros is the third smallest African nation by area space. The population, excluding Mayotte, is estimated at 798,000. So it's a very small population of people living there. And as a nation formed at the crossroads of many civilizations, the Comoros archipelago is noted for its diverse culture and history. The union of the Comoros is three official languages: Comorian, Arabic, and French, though French is the sole official language in Mayotte. Officially, in addition to many smaller islands, the country consists of four major islands in the volcanic Comoros archipelago. It's volcanic area. Northwesternmost of the islands is Grand Comore, or in their language, Ngazija. The second is Moheli or Mwali, and third is Anjaun or Nzwani. And the southeasternmost, Mayotte or Maore. Mayotte, however, has never been administered by an independent Comoros government. It continues to be administered by France, currently as an overseas department, as it was the only island in the archipelago that voted against independence in 1974. France has since vetoed United Nations Security Council resolutions that would affirm Comorian sovereignty over the land. In addition, a referendum on the question of Mayotte became an overseas department of France in 2011. And this referendum was held on 29th March 2009. It passed overwhelmingly. The Comoros is the only state to be a member of the African Union, Francophonie, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Arab League, of which it is the southernmost state, being the only member of the Arab League which is entirely in the southern hemisphere, and the Indian Ocean Commission. Since independence in 1975, Comoros has experienced numerous coup d'etats, and as of 2008, about half the population lives below the international poverty line of $1.25 a day. And we look at the history of Comoros. The first inhabitants are thought to have been Arab, and these people arrived no later than 6th century AD, the date of the earliest known archaeological site found on Nzwane. And the islands of Comoros were populated by a succession of people from the coast of Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, and the Persian Gulf. the Malay archipelago and Madagascar. Yet Bantu-speaking settlers who reached the islands as part of the greater Bantu expansion that took place in Africa throughout the first millennium. And according to pre-Islamic mythology, a jinni spirit dropped a jewel which formed the greater great circular inferno. This became the Karthala volcano, which created the island of Comoros. So, say a jinn dropped a jewel, created a big fire, became the volcano, and this volcano created the island of Comoros. The development of Comoros was divided into two phases, and the earliest reliably recorded phase is the Dimbeni phase, 9th to 10th centuries, which each island maintained a single central village. From the 11th to the 15th centuries, trade with the island of Madagascar and merchants from Middle East flourished. Smaller villages emerged and existing towns expanded. Many Comorian people can trace their genealogies to ancestors from Yemen, mainly Hadramaut and Oman. And so Comoros has a very strong link with the Arab nations. And then you look at the beauty of Comoros, the geography of Comoros. That is the stunning part of this beautiful nation. The travel to this place, it is about 20 coups or attempted coups have taken place since they gained independence from France in 1975. In 1997, the islands of Anjou and Moheli declared independence from Comoros. In 1999, military chief Colonel Azali seized power. And to travel to Comoros, you can get there by plane. Visas to visit are issued on arrival. And a normal visa costs about 61 euros. It can be paid in Comorian francs, US dollars or euros. Visa lasts 45 days. It can be extended. Kenya Airways flies direct from Nairobi thrice a week, connecting with London, Dubai, Mumbai and Paris flights. And then you can travel by boat. And in the islands, you can either get around by plane or by car, by bus or by boat, whatever you want. You can see, what can you see? You can go to the Karthala volcano crater. There's about 8 hours walk, single way, and guides available. Then you can go to Lac Salé, which is a lake adjacent to the beach beyond Matsamuli. In Grand Comore, you can see dolphins off the coast beyond Hahaya. You can see the Livingston bats at Moheli. You can see giant sea turtles at Moheli as well. You can do trekking, hiking, cycling, deep sea diving, snorkeling, all the different things there. Comoros, the cost of things. Well, the cheapest hotels or bungalows in Moroni may cost about 20 euros, as little as 10 if you bargain hard. On the other hand, Hotel Moroni may cost hundreds. Imported goods are cheaper on Grand Comore than Moheli, but fruits and vegetables are cheaper, if less available on Moheli. Meals in a cheap restaurant, which serves fried meat and bananas, manioc, taro, breadfruit, may cost up to 1,500 Comoro franc, and that's 3 euros. On Grand Comore, as little as 250 franc. There's different places where you can stay at expensive hotels, cheap hotels. And Comorians are a liberal Muslim nation, and alhamdulillah, you know, being a Muslim nation would be very easy to live there. Perhaps you could get one day Maulana Shamsuddin to come on and actually tell us what Comoros is all about, and we can get one of the locals to speak to us about the language and about the people, inshallah, Aziz. Well, and listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Before we get on to the topic of parenting, we are going to look at family and the relationship that we have as family members. When we consider family, when we think about family, who do we think about? That's the very first question, that who do you think about when you speak about family? Do you speak about only your immediate family, siblings, or your own wife and children? Do you consider your siblings as part of your immediate family? If you do, do you consider your cousins as part of your immediate or close family? Now, we speak about family and look at the example of the past, look at the example of people of the past, and take an example of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you come even in our previous generation of people, families more or less stuck together, even if it was extended family. If you looked at cousins, sometimes second cousins as well, sometimes people who are far related, but they stuck together and they worked together. And when we look at that beautiful, good type of relationship that the families had of the past, it would really amaze us, because we are living in an era where sometimes even siblings or even parents' siblings are unknown to their children. Speak about parents' cousins, or speak about grandparents' siblings, and those are unknown to some children. And this is all boiling down to how we maintain our family ties and how we maintain our relationship with our family members. And obviously circumstances that affect us in different ways, jobs, living spaces, etc., that affect the decisions we make and affect us in terms of the contact that we can maintain with our families, etc. Now, when we speak about extended family, we know that we have cousins, maybe second cousins as well, and what we need to learn from our family is, or with our family, is the ability to be able to connect with those family members and understand the importance of family, understand the importance of our ties with our family members. The ahadith in the Quran replete with verses and with injunctions and with instructions and with encouragement and with rewards for maintaining good family ties and maintaining a good relationship with our family. Now, it is necessary for us to maintain these family ties, to try and reconnect with our family members. And believe you me, as much as we may be thinking that the next person does not want to connect with me, but just speak to them on the basis of being a family, on the basis of being related by blood, and you will find the barriers between you breaking down, and you will find an opportunity to make a new friend, an opportunity to find a new companion. And then it goes further, that family would then be there to help and assist and work together and do things together and have fun together as well. And we have to maintain our family ties, build family ties, reconnect with our families, with our siblings, with our cousins, with our parents, siblings, parents, cousins, grandparents, siblings, grandparents, cousins, reconnect with these individuals, with these people, and show them that love, show them that mahabba. And sometimes there are old people among our parents and grandparents, siblings and cousins, and they require our assistance. They may not be having other people to take care of them, to look after them, to see to their needs. And if we are able, and if we have the means, then we need to make an arrangement, get organized and start helping and assisting and seeing to the needs of those individuals who are related to us by blood, but we don't have much more ta'alluq, much more relationship with those individuals. So it is it would be an excellent thing if we could get together, work together, and build up, firstly reconnect the family ties, and then help and assist our family members in times of difficulty and times of need. And that is where the reward comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned specifically sil man qata'aka, that you reconnect with those people who have cut ties off with you. And maybe the ties were cut in the previous generation. Maybe there was some sort of dispute, argument, some sort of contention in the previous generation of parents or whoever it may be. But now let your new generation come up and realize that let us work beyond this. Let us overcome our pettiness between ourselves and let us reconnect ties. Let us strengthen our bond in our relationship, and you will find great benefit, great barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned great rewards for that as well. After this break with the topic of parenting, stay tuned.
For everyone. Join Maulana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Maulana Yahya Bam, Maulana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Hamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. Those people with children know how it is in maintaining the control and the rules of the home. Now, you always have issues when it comes to making sure that your children respect the house rules and respect the order and the system of the home, meal times, respect in the home, the type of language they use at the home, the amount of time they allow to use the gadgets, etc. But we are going to, inshallah al-Aziz, be speaking to you about the issue of house rules. Now, when we speak about the first thing, which is the rule part of it, as soon as we say the word rules, people go on to the defensive to say that now we are implementing rules and rules are something difficult and it's difficult for us to maintain them. But it is with rules that we are able to maintain our system and order in our lives. If it wasn't for rules, then there wouldn't be any system and order in our lives at all, and people would just be following whims and fancies and desires, and there wouldn't be any values and morals left in the world. And so that is why it is necessary to maintain rules. Now, when we speak about adults and rules, you will see that many adults would find it difficult to actually acknowledge that they enjoy living by the rules. They don't really enjoy ruling, living by the rules, and rules are restrictive. It might sound that putting some house rules in place for your children could make a, you know, it could be a little bit difficult, and it could be a challenge. But now we must understand that implementing house rules can make your and house environment more relaxing, and the children know exactly what is expected of them, and you won't have any longer one child saying that this is not fair, and one child saying to the mother, no, Dad lets us do this, but you're not allowing us to do that. And why is that child allowed to do it while we were stopped from doing it? And the list goes on, and there's always discrepancies and challenges. Now, house rules can be general. For example, no shouting, no swearing. But the important part is that everyone in the house has to agree to stick to the rules. And so the first aspect when it comes to setting house rules is to sit down with the family and discuss the rules that you want to implement in the house, and they will all come to an agreement for the house rules that you discuss with them. For example, shoes have to be placed neatly in a specific place, dirty clothes or used clothes have to be put into the washing hamper, into the washing basket. School bags have to be put into their respective places. Juzdans and kurtas after madrasa have to be hung or put into their place. When you are choosing clothes, whatever you are not using has to be packed into the cupboards by yourself. Dishes need to be lifted from the table and placed into the basin. When it comes to greeting, when you enter the house, the rule is that everyone must greet, make salam properly, loud and clear. It's one of the important and basic rules. Rules as far as it goes with keeping the bathroom clean, rules with the amount of time you're allowed to use the shower. Children, if they are not checked, especially the teens, then they go into very, very long showers. And the important thing is that everyone must agree to stick to those rules, put them forward, and let your children help you to decide on the rules. And there may be certain rules which they say, no, please don't put this in, it's too difficult for us to maintain. There may be certain rules that they could remind you of as well. And, you have sometimes individual discipline problems with certain specific children that you can deal with separately, but the general rules of the home have to be the same and has to be agreed upon by all of the children. And this putting rules and parameters into place, borders and boundaries into place, gives the children a sense of control, gives them a sense of foundation and basic respect, and inshallah it will bring them up as respecting adults as well. So the first thing that you can do is decide on 10 realistic rules which you and your child agree you can stick to. That's the important part, that don't keep the number of rules too many, keep them simple, keep them few. Decide on 10. 10 is an easy round number that you can look at, and sit down with your child and let your child also decide on it and agree to it, and let them be a part of deciding on those rules. And then you put those rules up, and you write them out, stick them on your fridge, stick them on a central place, let everyone see the rules. If there's younger children, add some pictures or symbols or something so that they can understand the rules better as well. And if you are able to write your expectations with the rule but in a positive way, then do that, because that will go a longer way in winning your kids over. And for example, everyone must speak politely instead of no swearing. Put toys in the box at the end of the day and the end of playtime instead of don't make a mess. And tell them what to do instead of telling them what not to do. And that's what you, how you write the rules out. If you can print it out, it will be all the better. If you have a whiteboard, if you have a central area in your kitchen or a central place where everybody can see the rules, everybody can read them and be in front of them, this would go a long way in making them conscious of the rules. And the whole important part is for them to remain conscious all of the time. And And then also reminding them, when you're setting the rules, reminding them that, listen, mommy or daddy is not going to be there all of the time to make sure that you're fulfilling the rules. This fulfilling and following the rules is a team effort, and we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. And this is a promise that you are making to your mom and dad. When you make a promise, we are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill those promises. And so you need to make sure that you live up to this promise that you're making, that you are going to follow these rules that we are setting out. That's the important thing when it comes to the period of setting the rules and placing the rules up. They must agree and they must promise to live up to those rules. That's the important aspect there. And then once you have placed the rules up on the board, now you have to refer to these rules when you're going about your daily routine. And when your children follow the rules and they've been obeying the rules, then praise them. Praise them and encourage them. Say something encouraging. And mashallah, I see that you've been putting your washing into the washing bin regularly. You know, sometimes they've done something good. You know, just praise them for the good that they have done. And you'll find that by praise, the children will feel more encouraged to follow the rules. Then the important aspect is be consistent. Be consistent. And if you change the rules, then your children may feel cheated. And then once they feel cheated, then they're going to be tempted to break the rules. So, you know, just be consistent when it comes to implementing the rules. And if any one of the children are breaking the rules, then make sure that they are all equally make sure they are all equally respecting the rules, and they are all equally implemented and all equally punished also if they are not fulfilling the rules, not living up to the rules. And then if a rule is broken, remember that you have to remind your child what the rule is. Tell them that, listen, this is no swearing, or this is one of the house rules, you haven't done that. And consider some form of discipline, not too heavy, not too strict, but something that will remind the child always to fulfill the rules. That's as far as it goes with house rules. What we're going to do now is going to take a short break. If anyone has any questions concerning this, you're most welcome to SMS on 073-173-846. When you've received an SMS from a sister regarding a different issue concerning parenting, which we will discuss. The listener asks us to speak about the relationship between grandmother and grandchildren. Well, the issue is with regards to the upbringing of the grandchildren, and with regards to the respect, or with regards to who the grandchildren are required to respect, and the balance between how, for example, you have the parents, you have the mother and father in the home, and you have the children there. And now the grandchildren have to be nurtured, they have to be taught, they have to be directed and guided to respect both sets of grandparents, and to equally respect both sets of grandparents. There should not be a disparity or discrepancy, difference in respecting either set of grandparents. For example, the child shouldn't be told that this grandparent you show respect to and you treat them nicely, and the children are scolded if they make a mistake or don't show respect, and the other set of grandparents, the children are given free rein to do whatever they like. So there should not be that type of unfairness in terms of the upbringing of children. There should be fairness, and there should be respect for all grandparents. And it's the responsibility of the parents to teach that respect of grandparents. This is the important thing, and one of the basic aspects of our life is that children learn by example. That when we teaching our children good behavior, then they are going to learn more from the way that we behave compared to what we actually tell them to do. What we need to do is to set a good example of respect for our parents, respect for our in-laws as well. The husband needs to respect his parents, needs to respect his in-laws. The wife needs to respect her parents, respect her in-laws as well. Don't speak bad about them when they are not present, and show respect to them in all conditions and situations. And you find that the children would show that same respect. And when there is discrepancy, then the children also pick that up, and they show that discrepancy. So we need to show respect to our parents, our in-laws as well, and our children will definitely pick up from there, inshallah, Aziz. It brings us to the end of our program today. Shukran Jazilan for listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam, and shukran to my studio operator, Brother Osama. This morning from Junaid Jasad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.